Lydia, please give me Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, 1 to 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your seal, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Elisha of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my hire. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your hire, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your hire. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you this evening because of your word. What says from the book of John chapter 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was him with the beginning. And all things were created through the Word, and there is nothing that was created that was not created by the Word. Father, in Jesus' name, even as we, my Father, share your Word tonight, we pray that you will help us. Let your Holy Spirit open our ears, open our eyes to understand your Word. Completed, my Father, for the glory and the honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when God promised Abraham that he will give him a son who is going to be a heir, Abraham asked God, where is this higher, because the person I'm seeing around is a different person who is not from my family. Then how is this going to be? The reason why Abraham was asking these questions is because he was old, past the age of bearing children. And even Sarah herself was old. And the Bible says that she was past bearing children. This, of course, worried Abraham. How possible is this going to be? Because looking at every situation around me, things look difficult. I don't see myself bearing a child. He decided to have a conversation one-on-one with God, and he asked God, then how possible is this going to be? God told him, he assured him, Abraham, your own son could be your heir, not someone who is not from your family. The Bible says that he believed, and to him it was counted to him righteousness, because he believed. Now, sometimes I ask myself if Abraham decided not to believe, because sometimes, you know, God works in a different way, because he must involve you, involve us in making the decisions that we want to have in our in life. So if God had said that you are going to get a child, and this is the one who is going to be a heir, and then Abraham, now looking at the every situation, says, this is not going to be. Then God had no option. He will now say, he pack off and say, I have told you that you are going to get a son, and this is the one who is going to be your heir. And then you are disbelieving me. Then God could have packed up, and then he let him do or continue to disbelieve. But the Bible says that he believed and he trusted God that this is going to happen. Yeah? Then it happened. You see? So, this was an uncommon reception asking by Abraham. Because when he looked at this situation, he said, now, this is not going to happen. But now when he engaged God and God told him it is going to happen, he received uncommon reception. His prayer was answered. Yes, at times we are faced with difficult situations in life. You look at a situation that has become so stubborn to an extent that you say, is it going to be possible for me to come out of this? You find yourself in a situation where maybe the doctors are telling you that in the next few days, things are not going to be the same again. And when you also check around, when you also refer to even some experiences that you have had, or what you have experienced from other people, or what you have had that has happened to other people, you start looking at that situation as impossible. Forgetting that God has said that with God, all things are possible. The Bible says that God did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us. How can he not with him also give us all things? If he has said that, yes, some of these things look impossible to you, but to me, they are possible. Just the belief. Just the belief. Trust in God. For sure, the circumstances around you might be speaking otherwise, but just believe what the word of God says about that situation. The same way Abraham said, yes, I can see my wife is past bearing children. Yes, I'm old enough. But behind the scenes, God was saying, Abraham, I can change this situation. Abraham, I can make this happen. And indeed, that happened. Then now, Abraham believed and trusted God that he's going to do it. And that happened. Acts chapter 3, 1 to 10, media. Give me a new King James version, please. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took up him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The Bible is not telling us how old this man was, but the Bible says he was a man, and I believe now he was not a boy, because if he was a boy, they could have said he's a youth, but he is a man. I'm believing he must have been 18 years and above. So when this man was born, he was just was born lame from his mother's womb, just like that. And he grew up, and they had to find an occupation for him. Just every day, this man was carried and put at the gate of the temple, that whoever was passing by, he would ask for alms, and they were giving him. Year one, year two, they continued giving him. But something was about to change. This time around, Peter and his colleague, they are now going to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. The same thing this person, or the lame person, was doing, asking alms every day, he knew that that's what he was going to do. Ask alms from the people that were going into the temple to worship. So when Peter came and John, he expected to get something from them. He said, "Can you give me something?" As usual. Unfortunately, Peter changed the story. He told him, "Silver and gold I don't have, At this point, this person now was asking himself, then what next? If these people say they don't have money, they are not giving me anything, then why are they standing here? Why are they wasting my time if they have said they don't have money? They should be walking away and leave me alone as I wait for another person to come so that I can request something from him. Why are they wasting my time? Peter goes ahead and tells him, I am not going to give you what you think or what you have been asking. I'm giving you something different. Hallelujah. And now Peter tells this guy, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Then he simply says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. The Bible says that with his right hand, he held him up and lifted him up. And from that moment, the history of this gentleman who was asking alms every day at the gate of this temple changed. Completely changed. What happened? He received the strength to walk. Stand up. The guy stands up. He's leaping, but he's... And everybody in the temple now realizes, Allah, something has changed here. This is the same guy we were giving alms. And some were even saying, is this not the person I gave money when I was coming in? Is he? Is he the one who is walking? And they realize, yeah, the face looks like this is the person. And they believe this person has... Something has changed. The story changed. The gentleman who never went back to asking for alms, he received a miracle there and there. Yeah? Uncommon and unexpected reception by a touch. Tap. Things changed. Why? Because what Peter had was unique to what the world was offering. The solution Peter was giving was different from the solution the world was giving. And the solution here is Jesus Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this man received a miracle. Hallelujah. It is the same God we are serving. Yes, I know sometimes we have gone through difficult situations day by day. Every day you wake up, it is the same story. Every day your neighbors wake up, they look at you and say, you see, same thing is happening. You have lost hope. There's no hope left because the situation looks bad. But there's one. There is one who can change your story, and his name is Jesus. He has the power. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. That's the confidence that we have. Every day we wake up, we trust in this name. We know that he is the one who is going to watch over us. He is the one who is going to order our steps. You just believe that he is the one who is going to open doors. He's the one who is going to make ways where seems to be no way. He's the one who is going to open doors where seems to be no way out. He is the one who has the power. He said that all power in heaven and all powers in heaven and earth are given to me. He is the one who has all the power. Naongea na mtu. That difficult situation. Just give it to God. The same way Abraham had a discussion with God and told him, how possible is it going to be? Can you take that situation to God and tell him, God, how this situation going? How is it going to change? How possible is it that it will be done? And God will assure you, because he has said that you have got good plans for you, plans to prosper you, and not plans to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. He's not a man that he should lie. What he has said, that exactly he will do. He has spoken it, he will do it. It's not like me. I will give you a promise, and tomorrow I will not do it. But he is a promise keeper. He is the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above that we can ask or imagine. That is his nature. He asked Jeremiah, I'm the God of all the flesh. Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me? Yeah. Yes, things are not good. Economically. But he is God. He is the creator of all things. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. All things belong to him. Even your life belongs to him. He's only waiting us to ask. He said, ask. And it shall be given. Knock the door, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you'll find. And you know, he has assured us. When you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 downwards, he has again assured us that if you ask, you will receive. If you knock the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. That's an assurance. Yes, you might ask something, but God has a way that he will answer. Wait on him. Just wait on him. Believe and trust in him. He will do an uncommon thing that you never expected, because he has said so. That I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That should be your encouragement. When you sleep at night and when you wake up, and immediately some thoughts come into your mind relating to what you are going through, encourage yourself and say, yes, and my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in the glory through Jesus, by Jesus Christ. Don't keep doubting. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy, because the devil is a liar. He will tell you this and this has never worked. So who are you that you are believing God that things will work this way? When Jesus was being tempted by the devil himself, the enemy was using the word. He was applying the word, but in a wrong way. Yeah? But Jesus told him, the word of God says this and this, this and this, and he overcame. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. That relationship is not working. Don't give up. Just trust God. Keep on telling God, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I'm going to overcome. Because your word says there's nothing too hard for you. Therefore, I am an overcomer. I will overcome this. Remind the enemy that he's a loser. He was defeated 2,000 years ago when he lost the battle. Just remind him. Tell him, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. And let the sick say, I am healed. The Bible does not say, let the sick call five people and discuss about their weaknesses. No. The Bible say, let the weak say, I am strong. In that situation, in that difficult situation that you are finding yourself in, encourage yourself and say, I will make it. I am a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. The battle is not mine. Jehoshaphat was faced with a battle, and he was scared, of course, when the news came to him that some groups have ganged up to fight you. Instead of fearing and trembling and running away and going around gathering the troops from the neighboring countries to come and assist him in fighting, he decided to look at God. He told the children of Judah, this is what we are going to do. We are going to fast. 3 days fasting. All the animals, the children, we are going to fast and pray and ask God. And when they did that, the Bible says that God sent his servant and came and told Joseph, King Jehoshaphat, this battle does not belong to you. I'm the one who is going to fight in this battle. And for sure, the following day, when the armies of the other, when the enemy had ganged up and said, now we are facing Judah and we want to terrorize them, God did a miracle. He said, now this is what I'm going to do. The battle is mine, I'll fight it. The Bible says that those guys, they started fighting one another. The enemy among themselves started fighting one another. And I like what the Bible says. And the last person helped to kill himself. The patrols does not belong to you. Whatever the enemy is doing, let God do it for yourself. Let God fight your enemies. Tell God, here I am. I don't have the tools to fight. Fight. Fight for me. I like the person, David. I mean this David. A young boy. He's telling Goliath, imagine, you have all the weapons at your disposal. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. In the simple as that. In the name of the Lord. I come against you in the name of the Lord. Because David knew, the battle does not belong to me. The battle belongs to my God. He honored God. David honored God when he said that my power is in the name of the Lord. That giant is saying, what is this now? I've fought so many battles. I have killed so many people. I mean, this is like a small rat to me. What is he saying? He didn't know the weapon that God was going to use against him. The boy picks up a stone. Just a stone. With a sling. It hit him. He fell down. And you see, David had even confessed that today, I'm going to give you a head. I'm going to cut off your head and give it to the birds of the air to eat. And you know, this guy, since he believed in himself, because he has fought many battles, he had every weapon, and you know, with his stature, he said, I am going to kill you, but he never knew that God was going to fight for this gentleman called David, and he gave him a big victory on that day. I'm reminding us tonight that whatever situation, whatever battle you are going through, let God fight for you. Amen? He is the one. Don't worry about what the doctors have said. Tell the enemy what God says about your health. If God is a liar, then so be it. But he's not a liar. He has said clearly that I am not a man that I should lie, not a son of man that I should repent. Have I not said it, and will I not do it? With that confidence that God is not a liar, and he is the one who is telling the truth than what the enemy is telling you, then believe him. After all, what is our ultimate goal here on earth? To go to heaven, isn't it? Sindio? Kuna mtu amekuwa mkristo hapa, akingojea kwenda heaven? No. Our ultimate goal is to go to heaven. Why did not Job give up? Why did he not give up? It is because he knew who God was. Even when the wife was telling him, Bwana, choose huyu Mungu wako and let us close this chapter. But God had revealed to Job who he was, and he knew that my God, even if I lose all these things, siende zote, I will still trust in him because he is my God. He's the one who gives all things. Why should you give in? Why should you be tempted? Someone is letting you give me a bribe so that I can give you a job. What? Is he the creator of the earth and the heavens? Is he the one who made this world? Is he the one who is giving himself life that every day he can go to that office and ask for bribes? No, you are a God. So, just believe. The same way Abraham believed God, just believe. Just believe. Why is he saying that I would not forsake you nor leave you to be ashamed? Is he, you know, is he really lying? He's not lying. He's simply telling you, I am your God. Just trust me. I would not leave you nor forsake you. Every situation that you are going through, I am with you. I will hold your right hand and walk with you and take you to the other side of the river or the sea. Because I am your God and I have the power to to change every situation, to carry you through, God take you to the other, to give you the victory that you need in your life. And you should not be scared. Do not fear. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. The one who is in you. As all the power. Quick remedia to 2 Kings 7:1-2. Then what happens? What are the consequences of unbelieving? Second Kings chapter 7:1-2. We know the story of Elisha when there was famine in Samaria and there was no food and the people were dying. And he had to intervene by making some proclamations. First one says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord, that says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a shear of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 shears of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. To cut the story short about what God is capable of doing. Now this man disbelieved what the word of God was saying. The man of God saying that tomorrow at this time, there will be food. But when this man, the one who was now serving the king, when he looked at the situation, the drought has been here for some time. The place is dry, there's no water. Even if it will rain today, can we have food tomorrow? I checked and I said, this is very impossible. But this guy is forgetting that God is speaking through his servant Elisha and saying, tomorrow at this time, there's going to be food. What he needed to do was just to believe, because the man of God has said it. But he did not believe. He instead disbelieved. And he went ahead to even remind Elisha that look at the situation. Even if it was going to rain today, tomorrow, how possible is it that we are going to have food? In fact, if you were also in this situation, what would you say about the situation? Yes, the situation looked true that there was no rain. It was dry. And it is true that even if it was going to rain on third day, there's no way that you can have food because it is a process of getting food. The plants must grow, they must produce, and then you can get food. And that does not happen in a day. It takes a process. It is a process. Therefore, it was very easy for this guy to believe that it's not going to happen. But he forgot that the man of God has said a word that tomorrow, at this time, people will have food, that says the Lord, that's enough. So when a prophecy is released And when you read the word of God and come across a scripture telling you that with God all things are possible. When you look at that situation and ask yourself, is it possible? But now the word of God reminds you, with God, all things are possible. Then you believe all things are possible. When you find yourself in a financial crisis, then the scripture comes to and tells you, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Receive the word. Believe it. And God will do what exactly has said. Hallelujah. My time is over. I could have wished to continue, but my time is over. God bless you. God bless you indeed. Psalm 121. As we cross, let us do a benediction. Psalm 121. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to personalize this word as we read it. Let us read it all together. I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. He will not allow my foot to be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade at my right hand. The sun shall not strike me by the day, nor the moon by the night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God that this far we have come. Continue praying for our nation. God loves Kenya. God has a good plan for Kenya and the people of Kenya. Amen. God bless you.